Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Fort Edmonton, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brennan Escott with you. Want to tell you that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse, 9990 Jasper Avenue. Roost Chris, it's the greatest steak you've ever had. We'll tell you that Brennan and Chris, tell them Oilers Now sent you. Momentarily, we will be hooking up with John Shannon here. You can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Boomer has texted the show. Bob, any truth to the Kessel and Subban rumors? I have to say, I really don't like the idea of either one, says Boomer. PK likes to refer to himself as the PK Subban brand. I don't like it or him. Kessel has a history of being the last one in, first one off at practice. Both are bad influences and locker room distractions. Boomer. See, Boomer, I always find this interesting. Like, people sit there, like, and even once in a while, it even catches me by surprise here in town, because you'll have people that claim to know what's going on in the Oilers dressing room. And, I traveled virtually the entire season last year with the club, and, you know, because we alternate Jack Michaels and Cam on the radio play-by-play because of Jack's television commitments, made most of the trips the entire year. I don't know everything that goes on, and I'm also not in the dressing room. I can tell you that I've talked to lots of guys about Phil Kessel over the years, and they all say he's a pretty good guy and a different guy, a unique guy, but not a guy that is disliked. Subban has a big personality. There's no question about that. Would they be locker, you know, I don't know. As it stands right now, I think it'd be, I don't know whether or not it would make sense for the Oilers. I mean, they're up. We had Ken Holland on the show when we came back off holidays on Monday's edition of Oilers Now. And the reality of the situation is, you know, Ken said that Ryan McLeod deal is going to get done. He might do something else. What I'd suggest to you is, I know for a fact there's multiple players that would like to come here right now. Players want to go where they think there's a chance to win. And the general perception out there is that Edmonton's probably a top eight team now, especially now that they got Jack Campbell. They've pretty much added Brett Kulak, who was outstanding last year in the playoffs for the Oilers, was the best defensive defenseman they had. And he and Tyson Berrio, by the way, were very good in the playoffs and elevated Barry's performance. And we all know what sort of addition Evander Kane was. Like, this team has added Hyman and Kane up front, but they've also added McLeod to their forward group. And then, you know, okay, they brought in Keith. He's retired. But Bouchard took a significant step forward last year. I think he was 11th in the league in 5-on-5 scoring by defensemen. And then Kulak coming in pretty much replaces, Brett Kulak pretty much is going to replace Duncan Keith and probably, frankly, did a better job defending the blue line than Keith did at times. I don't think you can deny the leadership that Keith brought or the ability of his, I mean, the guy can pass the puck. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player. And we'll see where Broberg goes. And now they have Jack Campbell in goal, who I think we all know is a healthier option than Mike Smith. So the general perception is Edmonton's probably a top eight team this year. As Ken Holland alluded to, they were in the Final Four last year. You're on the tube every second night when nobody else is playing. So do I believe that the Kessel camp or the Subban camp might be looking at Edmonton all day? But those guys are probably looking for $1.5 million plus, and the Oilers don't have that right now. I think, given Edmonton's young defenseman coming, if I was to pick a positional need, I'd probably look at forward over defense. Now, I put a tweet out today on, you know, today's Sam Gagner's birthday, and a lot of people said, bring him back. You know, would he come in on a one-year deal at $750? Yeah, I think he would. Right shot, but he played mostly right wing last year. Little known fact on Sam Gagner, he was sixth in the NHL last year in time on ice for forwards on the penalty kill. Now, Detroit didn't have a great penalty kill, but Sam Gagner's reinvented himself two or three times. Sam Gagner would be the most seamless of players that Edmonton could bring in. He was a very popular teammate. He's low maintenance, and he understands his role. Johan Larson, I mentioned him yesterday. He's a left shot. Gagner's a right shot. Larson's a 50% face-off guy. He's played basically center. There's some belief that Larson, it was connected to Pittsburgh and something fell through there. And that didn't ultimately come to fruition. So could a guy like Larson be out there? Probably. I think what's happened is the market's so tight that the same opportunities aren't there for players in the past, especially a certain class of players. And we're going to bring aboard our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling, you need Legacy Heating and Cooling. That's how you build a legacy, heating and cooling. All right, John, how you doing?
I'm great, Bob. Sorry I'm late.
No, well, you gave me a heads up. We moved you up by an hour to get Glenn Anderson in today. Speaking of Glenn Anderson.
I mean, as if it's somebody important or something. Come on now.
Well, yesterday it was Wayne because it was the anniversary of the trade, and today Glenn Anderson's in town. He's still 30-plus years doing the Glenn Anderson Golf Tournament for the Cross Cancer. It's an awesome commitment on his part. you know, it's funny. I mean, you covered those series in the 80s, and come crunch time, the money player often was Glenn Anderson, wasn't it?
Well, listen, that's a team that had so many tools that they could you know, carve you up any way they wanted. And what I don't think people understand, and this is something I even when we were doing the games, that we understood Glenn Anderson's speed because it was remarkable. I don't think we understood how big Glenn was and how muscular Glenn was. And how when he turned that corner and went to the net, it was remarkable. When you have two number one lines, let's face it, you had two number one lines, and the competition wasn't necessary with the other team. It was the competition between the two lines who could stay on the ice longer. And Glenn Anderson was part of that. It was a remarkable time to watch a hockey team, and Glenn was certainly a big part of that team, and a big part of the Ranger team in '94 that Kevin was a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. We had this conversation. I mentioned that Mark Messier busted his ankle during the 85-86 season, and some of the highest scoring goals games in Oilers history happened that year. And Glenn Anderson ended up on the wing with Yari Curry and Wayne Gretzky. They loaded up the top line, and and they could score. You know that. And yep. And so I threw this out there. You talked about having two number one lines. The general consensus is, well, with, you know, Leon Draisaitl healthy, McDavid and Draisaitl center their own lines. But just for you know what's in giggles, how do you think a line of Evander Kane with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl would do if they played 87% of the time 5-on-5, like the Tkachuk, Lindholm, Goodrow did last year for the Flames?
Oh, I think it would be remarkable. And I think that what would really come to fore in so many ways, and every Oiler fan knows this, is when Leon Draisaitl, who in my mind is one of the top three passers in the game, if Leon Draisaitl had two targets of that skill to send the puck to, the options that would give him, it would be an absolute phenomenal scoring line. You wonder, could we? You know, how many assists could Draisaitl have with those two guys on the line constantly? How many points would Connor have? I mean, that would. When you think about it, and I mean, would be if the line stayed together for as long as you suggested, would be if Kane didn't get to 50 goals, would it be viewed as a failure? The three guys
in Calgary combined for 124 goals last year, okay? And the Flames don't have the Oilers' power play. I mean, the Oilers have gone, the Oilers were third last year. It was an off season for them. The 2 years before that, they were first and first in the NHL with one of the best power plays in the last 40 years. I think the second or third best power play of all time. So here's where I'm going. I mean, Leon's the only one between McDavid and Kane that have had a 50-goal season. And Leon's done it twice. Connor's hit the 40-goal plateau. Kane never has. I think it'd be a slam dunk Kane would get 40. I think McDavid, that's if they played them together. People say, oh, they'd have to score 150 goals because the other lines, well, wait a sec. You got Hyman, who's a pretty industrious player, pretty effective player. You know, could he not play if Nugent Hopkins and, say, Puljujärvi, as an example in that scenario? And then you're going, you know, and then you're rolling with McLeod, Fogle, and Yamamoto, as an example. And those guys are, they spend a lot of time around each other, those three players. And, you know, McLeod's ready to take another step. It's just fun to kind of, I realize most people think that we're going to end up with Nugent Hopkins, John, with Draisaitl and Yamamoto, and it's going to be Hyman with McDavid and Kane. But I would kind of, you know, just for fun, just throwing it out there, especially on a day in which, you know, I think back to Glenn Anderson getting loaded up with Curry and Gretzky. Yeah, why not? Why not sort of think about what could happen there?
Well, and you know, this is a team that when you talk about it, you mentioned something there in talking about Ryan McLeod ready to make the next step. The value of playoff games and the value of playoff experience and seeing the growth of players. You know, Yamamoto did not have the most successful playoff, but you know he's going to be better this year. Ryan McLeod did have a great playoff, and you know he's going to be better. You hope you have your fingers and toes crossed that Yessa will be in that same boat, that he will get to it another level. So when you're talking about this team and you're talking about, you know, three lines deep now, you're talking about how invaluable going to the third round is. And sure, they got swept by the Stanley Cup champion, but I'll tell you what, to get them there, to get them through three rounds of playoffs, those players are going to be better. And it is a classic case of the rich getting richer and those players being better when October comes for Jay.
All right. Some tough news involving Borja Salmi, John Shannon.
You know what? It really is. You know, and there's another former Maple Leaf, a teammate of his, Mark Curtin, who played in Vancouver a little bit. Still has lots of friends around the National Hockey League, played in Detroit a bit, was known as a Maple Leaf and played for the Peter Rapids in the OHL. Mark is going through ALS as well, and to know that Borja Salming, who was such a huge factor for the Maple Leafs through the 1970s, has now been stricken with ALS, it has been a little numbing for people in the hockey world in this part of the country. Salming arguably was the greatest defenseman ever to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
Much tougher than people realized. Unbelievable offensive skill. Strong defensive skill. And for many, when you consider the abuse that he took being that quote-unquote chicken Swede for the first 3 or 4 years of his career here, truly became one of the great players. And let's be honest, when you talk about Swedish defensemen that play today, in many ways, and I know there were people before him, but the fact that Salming got to the National Hockey League and played as effectively as he did, he became the poster child of Swedish defensemen. You know, when Nick Lidstrom talks about greatness and inspiration, he talks about Borja Salming. And I'm sure that's the case for guys like Erik Karlsson, probably Oscar Klefbom, and the role that Salming played in being a guiding light of defensemen from Sweden to play in the NHL. But it really is sad news to hear that he has been stricken with ALS.
Yeah, let's take it a little bit further. I brought this up a little bit with Brendan when around 12:25. When he mentioned the story on NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing, John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. As you know, I was not a fan of the Philadelphia Flyers in the 1970s. And the Maple Leafs played the Flyers in back-to-back playoff years at the height, absolute height of the Broad Street Bullies. And here's where you educate our listeners about Roy McMurtry and all the stuff that went on between Philadelphia and Toronto, because those were highly publicized, highly viewed series, and it was not pretty hockey.
No, it wasn't. And quite frankly, it was, when you talk about the height of the Flyers, goonism, and Fred Shiro's philosophy of beating people on the ice and the art of intimidation with your fists, which is something that ownership endorsed because they were pushed around early in the 1970s. But it got to the point where they tried to push the Maple Leafs around and did effectively. That the Ontario provincial government and the Attorney General, Roy McMurtry, got involved in and created some court cases and charged players, not only from the Flyers, but from the Detroit Red Wings. Dan Maloney, the late Dan Maloney, was charged for an on-ice incident with Brian Glennie in the same period of time. It was a place and time where we wondered where the game was going. And the Flyers won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Solming was a part of a Maple Leaf team that, you're right, seemed to play them a lot in the playoffs. And if not for the success of the Montreal Canadiens in the last 4 years of the 1970s, who in essence eliminated the Flyers with their style, that they were tough but they were faster and they couldn't be caught. We might be talking about a different style of hockey in the NHL right now. So, Salming was a victim of that abuse.
No
on
question.
A, on a nightly basis around the NHL. You do wonder, Bob, and I'm not trying to stir the pot, you do wonder, with concussion issues in professional sports and ALS, and the incurable aspect of ALS, is there's any role in the amount of concussions players have and physical abuse that players take that... Is there a correlation between ALS and it? Because ALS is something that we see prevalent in a lot of sports. And you wonder the amount of athletes that are inflicted with it. Is there something to be said for that? Or is it just because we know who these guys are and they have ALS, we make the correlation?
And Lou Gehrig, right? There you go. That's where it started.
It's called the Lou Gehrig's disease because... The great Yankee first baseman was the one afflicted with it and made it so much more public than anyone else.
The Iron Horse. All right, so...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just, I'm going to take it one step. So this happened in back-to-back years, and I remember I mentioned Dave Hunt. The Leafs ended up bringing, did they not have Walker at that point? They brought him in.
Kurt Walker brought up, yeah.
Dave Dunn did a number on the Hound. That was awesome, because he had the helmet he had? He had that ugly old, and he's right out of the University of Saskatchewan, and he just pounded the crap out of the Hound. It was awesome. But there is...
Not that you like fighting or anything.
Well, John, actually, I wanted. You mentioned the Montreal Canadiens,
yeah.
And I don't know if the tape exists, but you know the legendary story about the Canadiens and the Flyers at the start of the 75-76 season.
So, are you talking Larry Robinson?
Not the brawl in 73-74 that was on CBS. I'm talking
NBC, but that's okay.
It was on NBC.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm talking about a preseason game that concluded preseason. Montreal and Philly played back-to-back. The first night they played in Montreal. The second night they played in Philly. And the Canadiens, as you know, had an extensive farm system at that time. Nova Scotia was an absolute powerhouse in the American Hockey League. And they had their 11th toughest guys in their organization dressed. And like Larry Robinson's told the story. Like, take your pick. We had everybody, and we went into Philly. And that pretty much ended it. There's no video of that. It's never appeared on YouTube. But Moose DuPont was, you know, tapping out. That's how bad it was for the Flyers.
Well, we never really appreciated, as great as that Canadiens team that Scotty coached, we never really appreciated how tough they were, period. Beyond, you know, the speed of Lafleur and Schutt and Lemaire. But you're right. I mean, Larry Robinson was he was not shy. Rick Chartrand was not shy. You know, there was a toughness and a size to Canadiens in those days that they would physically beat you up. Maybe not with fists, but with body checks. Finish your check. Take your man. And you walked out of a game and you skated off the ice from a game with Montreal. You were battered and bruised. Because not only were they fast, not only were they skilled, but they were very, very tough.
John, I know you know TV as well as anybody. Final one, and it's a curveball for you, but just so everybody that knows this, when you do your hits on this show, we never talk before because that's part of...
I don't even know your name, so...
Yeah, well, apparently that's the case because I've never been on your podcast. Does it pay? Anyhow, so here we go. Are you watching this reconfiguration of the broadcasting relationships with the NCAA? And the conferences.
Is it crazy or what?
It is crazy. Unbelievable. The money that is being tossed around, the SEC and hockey in Canada, it's a big deal here, right? You know what college football means to people in the southeast part of the United States. That SEC package is moving off of CBS, and there are, like the Big Ten is reconfiguring and adding USC? Yeah, really?
This has all become... I mean, this is now a second tier of pro sports. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
With the fact now that college athletes can now get name, image, and likeness residuals, it has changed the whole landscape. What's also changing, Bob, is that the over-the-air networks, CBS, NBC, to a lesser extent ABC because they're married to ESPN, is that they're finding it much more attractive to make money from college sports than there is the professional sports. And particularly when it comes to football of any ilk in the United States. Football is now such a driver of rights fees. Not only college football, but obviously the NFL, which is it's the pinnacle. But college football now has become such a prosperous network profit center that's why this is happening. And when you can now have leagues, let's face it, they're leagues. We call them conferences, but you have leagues.
They're leagues now, yes.
They're leagues, you know, and in three time zones. They're not regional anymore. Even the SEC isn't really regional anymore when you consider where some of the teams are playing in the central time zone.
Yep.
It's remarkable, but it all goes back to how much money networks can generate, and we got to keep away from the other guy. And the fact that the Big Ten at one point in the last week, the rights fee for the Big Ten was going to be $355 million a year, and the SEC was $55 million a year. And you know how much... The SEC drives everything in the United States. So it's a phenomenal horse race we're watching in the United States when it comes to television.
You know, we talked about the U.S. for about the last 5 minutes here, and we didn't even mention, you know, Mar-a-Lago.
Well, no, because there's a padlock on the door, and the FBI can't get in yet.
There we go. John, great stuff. Thanks, man.
Have a great day, Bob.
You bet. That is John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Do want to mention to you at 1257 in Edmonton. All season long, the Oilers Now Injury Reporter brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at James H. Brown, heavily invested in the sports communities in the city of Edmonton. Trent, obviously, a former All-Star CFL safety. We are going to go off to a global news weather traffic update with Kevin Robertson. And when we return, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey.